Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 1:30 this afternoon. Hope you'll be able to stick with us this afternoon. And we are live. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here this afternoon. And going to be talking about a couple of things here. Had an interesting trip to Virginia here the past couple of days. Just a couple of things I want to share with you about that. And we'll get to all those things in just a few minutes here. But let's go ahead and open our program here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Pray for your blessing upon the program. Use us for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And help us in all things to lift up and glorify Christ. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and it's good to be with you this afternoon. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. There's also links on all of those to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, and I certainly invite you to check those things out as well. We'll have more information about our church at the end of the program, but if you're not doing anything tonight, certainly invite you to come up to our Bible study this evening. We have our usual Friday night Bible study starting at 7 o'clock tonight, where we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. And we meet there every Friday night, 7 o'clock, Bible study. It's an informal Bible study where you get to bring questions, and we just talk about what the Bible has to say, and kind of the same thing we do on the program oftentimes. And then, of course, we'll be there on Sunday morning. Our 10 o'clock is our Sunday morning Bible study, 11 o'clock our Sunday morning service, and I'm currently preaching through the book of Colossians on Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening is our Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock and currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. We had a great time this past Sunday, had some people listen to the program come out and visit us, as well as a number of other visitors and guests for our a church anniversary service this past Sunday, and we had a wonderful time, and I appreciate people who are praying for us, and appreciate those people who came out and those people who participated in that. And again, you don't have to wait for our next anniversary if you want to come. We invite you to come out anytime. All right. Also wanted to mention a trip that my wife and I took here this past week. Just got in a little after midnight last night, actually, or that would make it technically this morning, but we headed off to Virginia, and the goal of our trip was to go to Orange County, Virginia. A lot of people figure, Orange County, what's in Orange County, and where is Orange County? What's so significant about that? People who know a little bit more about history may realize that's where James Madison, considered the father of the United States Constitution, was from, and that is true. That is part of it. We did get to Monticello to see his home, President Madison. We got to see his home there and a few other things, but there's something that's even more interesting if you are a Christian or if you value freedom of religion in the United States, and that is a probably one of the least known but most important little memorial parks in the country. It's the Leland Madison Memorial Park. And this is something that I think every Christian should know about. And in particular, if you are a Baptist, you should know about this. But the Leland Madison Memorial Park is located on, I believe it's US 20, certainly Route 20, Constitutional Highway in Orange County. It's just to the east of the town of Orange, which is not a very big town, a small town there in Virginia, and about an hour and a half south of Winchester, and probably an hour or so, I think, east or thereabouts of, or west thereabouts of Fredericton, I believe, but a little town of Orange, and there's an airport there, and just east of the airport on Constitution Highway, US 20, Route 20 at least, if it's not US, at a little corner of the little road of Clifton, I should say, there's a little park that's easy to miss, and it's got a sign out on the front that says Leland Madison Memorial Park. And my wife and I went there. This little park commemorates a meeting between the Baptist pastor John Leland and James Madison that resulted in the Bill of Rights being added to the United States Constitution. And when I say added, I mean that. It's something that we value today. But here's what happened. Let me just give you a little background here. There's an article that I'm reading here, and I'll get to the author here in just a moment. John Ferguson wrote this, and it's in the First Amendment Encyclopedia, and it's at mtsu.edu, First Amendment. And I'll have that linked on my website or on the Facebook page here a little bit. But this is about John Leland. And, of course, John Leland was living in the 1800s. He died in about 1834 I think he was 80 years old. And he was a friend of both Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. And Leland and the Baptist in Virginia, they supported Jefferson's initial bill to ensure religious liberty in Virginia, and then later took up the cause when Madison reintroduced it some years later. Now, there was a controversy that arose between James Madison and John Leland over the United States Constitution. Remember, the Constitution was being presented, and it was being presented to the states. Madison wrote in the Federalist Papers many things that were written for and against the Constitution, and Leland and the Baptists of Virginia in particular were wary of this new federal constitution. The reason was they did not believe that it had sufficient protection of religious liberty. Remember, the Baptists in this country, a lot of people aren't aware of this, but the Baptists in this country were often persecuted in the colonies, even in the states after the Revolutionary War. Many of them were thrown in jail, beaten, fined, and even some died as a result of that. Let me recommend a great book here called The Collegiate Baptist History Workbook by James R. Beller. And now, James Beller has written a number of books on history in the United States, religious history, and of course, he was a Baptist pastor. He's gone to be with the Lord since then, but you can go online and just Google the Collegiate Baptist History Workbook, and you will find this book. It's great. It's got a timeline of the history of Baptists and church history going all the way back to the first century, the time of the apostles. And it carries them down through the 20th century when James Beller was writing this. And this book has a selection here on Madison and Leland. And Beller wrote this in here about Madison and Leland's encounter, John Leland told Madison that the Virginians would not approve the Constitution without a guarantee of religious liberty. And he quotes William Grady here. And Grady wrote here, Leland was nominated to be the Orange County delegate to the Virginia Convention for Ratification of the United States Constitution. Knowing that Reverend Leland's concerns were not so much with what the Constitution said, but rather with what it specifically did not say, Madison embarked upon an historic private conference with the influential Baptist. When Madison assured the man of God that he would lobby for a favorable amendment as a forthcoming member of the Virginia House of Representatives, his would-be rival not only pledged his personal support, but graciously stepped aside, allowing the more persuasive and articulate Madison to attend the convention in his place. And of course, as Beller continues to write here, Virginia ratified the Constitution July 28, 1788. Within a year, Madison went to Congress and helped drop the Bill of Rights, fulfilling the promise made to Leland. And what's important then about this park in Orange, Virginia, the Leland Madison Memorial Park, is this is a memorial that's been set up near the spot where Leland and Madison met, near where they met in order to make this agreement. Now, keep in mind, Leland had the votes. He would have unseated Madison likely as a representative, and he would have went to the convention to vote against Virginia ratifying the Constitution as it stood. And had that happened, it's entirely possible that other states would have come against the Constitution and we would have not ratified the Constitution, which could easily have resulted in our country breaking up. One of the reasons the Constitution was proposed was because under the Articles of Federation, Confederation, Articles of Federation, is that the national government did not have enough power really to hold things together. And so they realized something else was needed. And so representatives from all of the 13 states got together and they put together this document. And of course, many of you know the story. I don't have time to get into it all right now, they were kind of at a stalemate until Benjamin Franklin reminded them of the need for prayer. And they began having daily prayer meetings before working on the Constitution. And with that, the stalemate was broken. The Constitution came together. James Madison, of course, being one of the influential writers. And the result was that this was presented to be ratified by each of the 13 states. There were a number of things in there, compromises made between large states such as Virginia, small states such as Massachusetts, and things to guarantee states' rights. One of the original provisions, of course, is that senators were to be appointed by the states, because originally the Senate was to be the voice and the representation of the states. The House was the people's house, where the representatives, the senators, of course, representing the states, the representatives in the House representing the people of the states. And so that's why originally the states appointed their senators to be their voice. Now, if we still had that, that, of course, was changed a little over 100 years ago, I believe, and some people have thought it'd be a good thing, but if we still had that, the makeup of the United States Senate would largely reflect the, you see the maps of red states, blue states. The United States Senate would largely echo that, because in a state like Ohio, that's got a governor that's a Republican and a state legislature that is led by Republicans, we would have right now two Republican senators, most likely, and because we've had the Republicans dominating in the state legislature and the state house for several years now, and many other states that have Republican-dominated legislatures would have Republican senators where they now have Democrat senators. And of course, there's a few, it would be the other way around with the Democrats, but because it was the state's voice. And with the changing to the direct election of the senators by the people of each state, that kind of made the Senate into another version of the House. And then, of course, the House was to represent the people, give voice to the people. And one of the reasons for two senators that gave small states a voice in the national government, Maine had the same voice Massachusetts had the same voice that Virginia had. And then, of course, with the population of Virginia being much greater, they had a greater voice in the House than Massachusetts with a smaller population had. That also is why we have the Electoral College, because most people don't understand that in a presidential election, when you cast your ballot in November in a presidential election, which we will have next year, Lord willing, 2020, you are not casting your vote to elect the President of the United States. People don't understand. They say, wait, Pastor Al, we're a democracy. Well, no, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. You should read the Constitution. It's easy to get a copy of it. You should read it. Read the amendments. We're a constitutional republic. We cast our vote in November to tell the state of Ohio that we want candidate X to be the president, not candidate Y. So if candidate X wins, the state of Ohio has polled its citizens and determined that the state of Ohio wants candidate X to be president. And the state of Ohio then goes via the electors in the Electoral College to the to Washington, D.C., in order that the state of Ohio may cast its votes for candidate X for president. And so the president of the United States of America, not the people of America, is elected by the states. That's in our Constitution. That's why we have an Electoral College. And there's good reason for that. That ensures that the state of Massachusetts has a voice in the national election for president. If it were not for the Electoral College, then of course California, New York, and Texas would dominate the voting. In fact, the county of Los Angeles in California alone, or the boroughs that make up New York City alone, would probably count for more than virtually the rest of the country involved. Probably count as almost as much as 80+% of the rest of the country. So you can see where only a few people would be, a few locations of the country, Los Angeles County, New York City, and a few other places would be voting and electing the president. He would be the president of those places mostly. Here in Ohio, we would have a tiny voice, but if you were in North Dakota, you would have virtually no voice at all. But because of the genius Electoral College, we elect the president of the United States. We each in our states have an opportunity to tell our state who to vote for. Well, let me get back to what we're talking about with Leland and Madison. A lot of these things are here today because when Leland and Madison met, Leland was ready to oppose Madison, but they worked out a gentleman's agreement. And as a consequence, what happened was that Madison agreed that he would introduce a Bill of Rights, which includes the First Amendment to the Constitution. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution is what swung the promise of the First Amendment is what swung Leland and the Baptists in Virginia behind Madison. Madison won. He went, of course, and Virginia ratified the Constitution, and others followed suit, and have the Constitution today. The First Amendment, of course, the first of the first 10 amendments, which constitute the Bill of Rights, simply says in one long sentence, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. If it were not for that promise of that being in the Constitution, we might not have had a Constitution. Well, at the Leland Memorial plaque there on Constitution Highway, just east of Orange, Virginia, the corner of Clifton and 20 there, Route 20, this plaque says, Elder John Leland, courageous leader of the Baptist doctrine, ardent advocate of the principles of democracy, vindicator of separation of church and state, near this spot in 1788, Elder John Leland and James Madison, the father of the American Constitution, held a significant interview which resulted in the adoption of the Constitution by Virginia. Then Madison, a member of Congress from Orange, presented the First Amendment to the Constitution guaranteeing religious liberty, free speech, and a free press. This satisfied Leland and his Baptist followers. And then it says, presented by Eugene Buckland Bowen, President, Berkshire County, Massachusetts, Chapter Sons of the American Revolution. And this is a small park. If you'll go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral, that's facebook.com/livewithpastoral, I recorded a short video about a little over 3 minutes in length while my wife and I were there on Thursday. On Wednesday afternoon, and it's posted there. I'm going to be posting some more pictures of the park, and of course, you can always just Google Leland Madison Memorial Park, Google some information on Leland. You can find out more, and obviously, if you can find a copy of the Collegiate Baptist History Workbook by James Beller, James R., middle initial R., Beller, you can find out a lot more information. And also he has another book, I believe it's America in Crimson, I believe it is, and it covers the church history in America with emphasis in Baptist history. And he has a large section on the influence of John Leland and his interaction with James Madison. And while you're there, you can just continue a little further to the west to Monticello. You can see where Madison lived. You can tour some of the information that they have there on his life. And it's just a lot of information that's out there that's available. And if we don't take the time to look this up, we don't take the time to remember this and to communicate this and preserve this history, it'll be gone. Today, when we hear people talking about the religious background of people, you know, we're going to be having a fight in the Senate here coming up probably within the next year, replacing Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the United States Supreme Court. One of the judges that was considered to be possible replacement for her when she was undergoing her hearings as an appointment to the federal bench. I think it was Senator Feinstein was making critical remarks of her religious beliefs because as a practicing Roman Catholic, I think she said the dogma lives strongly in you, meaning that she was going to be too pro-life. And because somebody had a view from the Word of God that life comes from God and that the unborn child is alive, Senator Feinstein was trying to say that she wasn't fit to be a federal judge. And you can bet that will come up if this person is nominated to replace perhaps Justice Ginsburg in the next year or so. And if that's the case, we need to remember it's because of Christians. And I understand we're talking about Christians, we're talking about Catholics, we're talking about people who are Jewish, we're talking about people who are deists oftentimes that influenced our country over the years. And the Constitution says there's no religious test. There's to be no religious test for people who are going to serve in our government because we have, a constitutional republic. And when we look at this, a person's religious beliefs should not condemn them from being a judge or a justice or a federal officer of some sort, even a president or a senator or a representative. In fact, we should know what somebody's religious beliefs are, because that should influence them in how they make their decisions, how they rule on the courts, how they vote as a representative or a senator, the actions that they take as a president or a governor. We should know what this is, and we should expect a person's religious beliefs to influence their conduct. Thankfully, Leland and Madison agreed. Thanks for listening today. We're out of time. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.